I can tell what's deep inside Earth's buried caverns. I've only read about the jewels, rich and rare. I've not explored the depths of any ocean. But if you want to meet the Savior, I've been there. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me, come see me. When you're sick of sin and longing to be free, to be free. When you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me, come see me. I've not walked or talked with Earth's most famous statesmen, and chances that I'll never meet them all are dim. Oh, but if you like to know the King of Glory, I can take you to meet Jesus, for I know him. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me, come see me. When you're sick of sin and longing to be free, to be free. When you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Without him, you can't make it regardless of what you try. So today I'm filling a little bit for Brother James. He is ministering in Carrick, like in Woodridge. So I have a little bit of, I don't know, the Lord didn't give me much. But one thing I remember, you have to realize, there's always something to say. Today I want to introduce to you my best friend. And he's always there when you need him. He never lets you down. He's always there when you call on him, when you're brokenhearted, when you feel sick or lonely. You can lean on him and just say, help. Lord, I love you. He is awesome. There is none better in this old wicked world, and that's what we need right now, this morning, and every day of our lives, is a friend that is closer than a brother. In this big trials, in the sin-stricken world, we need someone to stand in the gap for you, because Satan is bombarding your souls and your spirit just to bring you down. But Jesus is always and ever present, longing to have that relationship with him in one-on-one basis. Trust me, he is better than your wife, he's better than your husband. And I say that with a true heart. Sure, you love your wives, you love your children. But when it comes to the real down-to-earth and heavenly things, you need someone that understands you, that understands me to the T. You can share with this friend anything and everything you can imagine, and he will listen, and he will share it with nobody. It's between you and him. So this morning, as the message is going to be brought forth, open your heart, because the Lord Jesus loves you. He cares. That's why he went to the cruel cross. And if you're not born again today, you can always get that one thing. You can get born again. You can turn to Jesus and he will save you because he loves you. That's why we come together. That's why we preach the gospel. It's never, never old. It's always new. That's the thing with Jesus. You always are refreshed. You always are blessed. You always are running over. And you know, when you turn to this God, he will never fail you. He will surprise you a lot of times. So as we give this mic over to Pastor Dave, I'll ask you to rise up and stand, and we'll say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. Holy Spirit of God, I pray and ask you to invade every heart here this morning with your presence. Lord, we're not here to play church. We're here to honor you and to hear what you have to say to the church. Lord, I ask you to bless Pastor Dave with the message, with the anointing, with the power of your Holy Spirit, and to work and to hear us. Anoint their ears, their eyes, and their heart, Lord, to hear what the Spirit has to say. We ask you to bless this service. We give it over to you, Holy Spirit of God. You take reign and bless every heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Not too many words to say today. Blessed are you. It's either yes or no. How many of you know that scripture? I was listening to a preacher the other day, and before the abortion was kicked out in the States, this prophet came to that preacher and he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him. You will speak to churches what they think about abortion being kicked out. And he said, at first, I didn't think too much of it. Then I started to ask after it was over. We know that Roe versus Wade was overturned. So he went and asked different churches, what do you think of God destroying Satan's agenda? And here's a lot of answers he got. Well, we teach the kingdom. We don't talk about that stuff. The other guy said, preachers, we want to keep our church a safe place. What does he mean by a safe place? Don't mention abortion, just in case somebody in your church might not agree with you or be offended. If there's anybody in here who is for abortion, there's the door. Hit it as fast as you can. Never mind a safe place. This is boot camp, teaching you what the Word of God is, teaching people how to live godly, holy lives, and teaching how to worship and preach the gospel. Never mind, we want the safe place. That's the problem with a lot of preachers. They're afraid to ruffle feathers. We're going to lose somebody. So, if he doesn't like the Word of God, he has no business here anyway. Go to the bar. There he can drink all he wants. There's more spirit there than he'll find here, if he's an attitude like that. So, God, sometimes I'm ashamed, but I think a lot of those pastors are put there by Satan himself. And I can't help but believe that. So, they'll be weeded out. They will be proven. They will be tried. And God is going to do the trying. It's not up to us. God will surely find them out. You can be sure of yourself. For those of you who were here yet last week, I was teaching on assurance of salvation. How God has sealed you. How God has made you holy. You are the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On and on it goes. God has done it for us at the cross. People will say, well, I actually listened on YouTube. There's this thing called the new church. Anybody can join. If you're a Muslim, a Hindu, as long as your heart is good. No, it's not about your heart being good. It's about you being lost and needing a savior to get you out of the kingdom of darkness. That's what it's about. I don't care how much money you give to the poor, how good you are, how I don't care how you love other people. If you don't give those people the truth, you don't have a clue what love is. What is the truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Never mind, I have a good heart. I'll get there. God sees my heart. No, he sees your sin if the blood of Christ is not covering you. That's what he sees. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, it says, behold, the day comes, says the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they did break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So when you become born again, were the laws of God written in your heart? I'm not talking about clothes here. I'm not talking following rules and regulations that God write his laws into your heart? Did you change? Did you become a new creation in Christ? Were there outward signs? Yes, it may have taken a while. And yes, you have failed. But inside, you want to serve God. Did that happen to you? If it's not there, he hasn't written them into your heart. And you need to get on your face, because judgment day is looming ahead for you. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. I got a question for those on the internet who claim to be born again. Those who are here. Has the Lord forgiven you your iniquities? Is the Lord teaching you? Has God spoken to you? Or do you need somebody like a pastor to tell you every day or every week, hey, Jesus loves you? If you need that, maybe you have nerve problems. I'll understand that. But if you're truly born again, nobody needs to teach you. God has spoken to your heart. He has opened your heart and your mind. He says, they shall not teach each other, their neighbor, but every one shall know. People will know who their God is. We will not be able to dissuade you from it. We will not persuade you, oh, God isn't real. Why? Because in your heart, you know that you belong to God. Nothing I or anybody will say, whatever they say, will make any difference to you, because you know that you belong to God. And then he says, once that happens, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. How many of us are reaching back into our past sin, stirring up dirty waters? There's a different word for it, but I'll use different water, dirty waters. Too many Christians don't seem to understand that God cleanses you from all unrighteousness. God sees you as you've never sinned before. There's a scripture that says, he took your sins and threw them as far as the east is from the west. Why didn't he say north and south? North and south have a meeting point. But go east. You'll go east forever. You'll never come to the west. That's how it goes. North, you hit the North Pole, or you hit the South Pole. East or west, they never meet, because it's only one way. That's how far God threw your sins from you. Do you understand that? If you don't, then you don't know God. You don't know his ways. And then, how do you know? Somebody says, I'm a Christian. You go on YouTube and you see those guys. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, this, oh, that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? You shall know them by their fruits. There's a change in a person's heart. I want to show you what fruits are. It's not doing good, doing this, doing that. The fruit of the Spirit is this. It's love, joy, and peace. Do you love one enough to tell him he needs a Savior? Has that ever happened to you? Should I? Shouldn't I? Some other time. Well, some other time is not going to come. That's not showing true love. Joy. Do you have the joy of the Lord there? Or are you worried about tomorrow? Tomorrow. Oh, we're going to have a storm. Everything's going to drown. God says, don't worry. I'm taking care of the birds. I'll take care of you. Do they toil? Do they go about wrecking everything, trying to produce? No, they just sit around and eat what God provides for them. And they're singing all the time. There's joy in their hearts. Is there joy in your heart? Or are you worried we may have a drought? We may not have enough rain. Sounds familiar. We may not have, we might get hail. We should do something about it. What are you going to do? Nothing. Here's what you do. You pray and ask for protection. And then it says, you have peace. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you know that you know that you belong to God? If that's missing, how can you have joy? How can there be joy there if you don't know that you have peace in your heart? Then you have long-suffering. Long-suffering is a little tricky, especially when you have kids. So you have to seek the Lord for strength, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, something that God had to teach me over the years. I didn't know how to say I love you till I was 4.5 months in a hospital. Now I say it all the time to my wife. Why? God, losing my tongue. It took COVID-19. Hallelujah. How many of us can say we love one another? Really mean it, not just saying it. Knowing that we love him in Christ. We love him for who they are. And then it says goodness, faith. Do you have faith that God is going to produce what he promised? Meekness. Here is a good one. Moses was the meekest person on the earth. But he could open the Red Sea. He could bring frogs to the land. He could make water, blood into water. You name it. Moses had power. Don't take meekness for weakness. When the people said, who is this Moses? Why didn't God choose us? Moses fell on his face. He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about the people. What did God say to him? Get away from those people. I will destroy them and make a nation out of you. Yes, he had power. He was meek and he had compassion and he had love. That's Moses. That's how God describes him. He had temperance. Sometimes he was angry, but most of the time he had temperance. He knew how to deal with people, and God blessed him for it, even though he had failures. So when we read the life of Moses, we can be sure that we have a lot to catch up to, because he was tough, he was strong, and he could kill people, but at the same time, he was meek in his heart to the point where God says, he's a man of my heart, he's meek in my eyes. And then it goes on to say, and did our Christ have crucified the flesh and have with the afflictions and their loss? Do you belong to Christ? Have you crucified the flesh? There's one scripture that says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. How do you do that? You kill it. You don't watch pornography. You get away from it. You don't run after being a drunkard or a drug addict. You get away from stuff like that. Go on to seek the Lord, and he'll give you strength if you do have problems. He says, those people who love me, have crucified the flesh and the affection thereof. If you're a drunkard, you haven't crucified the flesh. That's one place where we need to be very attentive, because God can take us, or Satan can take us in the lusts of our flesh. Wherefore, in Matthew 7:20, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Yes, God is a good God, and he keeps us from all evil if we follow him. If we dare to seek his face, pray, God is going to give us direction. But if we say we're Christians and we allow life to go on as usual, and don't care too much, then we may be heading for trouble. No. Give your heart to God. Seek a relationship. If there's weather coming, don't say, I hope it doesn't rain. Too much, you take it before the Lord. I hope you don't get a hailstorm. This sure looks like a dark cloud. You say, Lord, we don't need this garbage. That's from Satan. Take it out of here. If it gets too hot, too long, you say, Lord, that's not from you. That's from the devil. Bring us some nice weather. That's what God is trying to teach the churches. But alas, far too many churches are saying, whatever will happen, will happen. It's the will of the Lord. If that would be the case, then all those babies who are being aborted is the will of the Lord. That's a lie from the devil, which some preacher is too lazy to go into the Word and seek out the Word. Instead of doing it, finding out what God wants from them, they simply say, whatever will happen, will happen. It's the will of the Lord. Let's rejoice. Let's relax. God's in control. No, he has given us this world to take authority over. And if we don't start soon, we're going to have a little bit of trouble in this land. But God is warning, you can change things around if you dare step up to the plate. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
When you get to heaven, as you surely will, if the Savior's name you want. After you have greeted those you love the best who are standing round the throne, you may look for me, for I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to His name. When you roam with friends across the heavenly fields, ever finding treasures new. When you stand in rapture on some starry height, gazing on some glorious view,
my Lord,
you may look for me, for I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to His name. When you hear them singing round the great white throne, songs of praise unto the Lamb. When you hear the ransom with their harps of gold shouting glory to His name, and you may look for me, for I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to His name. When you kneel in worship to the King of Kings, who has saved you by His grace. When you see the Savior who has brought you there, and with joy behold His face, you may look for me, for I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to you.